must tell you, I'm starting to notice a strange phenomenon here. Whenever I bring in a special speaker, like Dr. Scott a few weeks ago, and Dr. Vern Palmisano, who's been here a couple of times, and even my brother-in-law, Jerry, who spoke last week, well, I'm seeing that there's always lots of excitement and energy in the room when that happens. But then when I get up here, it's just a little different. Thank you. Too little, too late, but thank you. But it gets me feeling like I just feel like this.
I find your lack of faith disturbing. I find your lack of faith disturbing.
One of the great lines of all movies. I'm kidding. I am kidding, of course. Now, where were we? Yes. Back to the basics, our theme for the year. We've been exploring foundational aspects of our faith. We're trying to become familiar with these things, the core principles. So familiar, we hope, that we could even speak about them if somebody ever asked us about them. And so for the last few weeks, we've kind of been spending some time talking about the church. The church. The ecclesia. Y'all remember? The ecclesia. The church, the called out body. And we saw how God sees the church. God sees the church as his masterpiece. It's his treasure. It's where God's heart is. And he sees it in shining greatness. What do you think would happen if we ever really started seeing our church the way God sees it? If we would see Tammany Oaks Church of Christ as shining and great, not because of us, but because of the Spirit of God alive and working in us and working through us, what would happen if we ever started using that kind of biblical language to describe Tammany Oaks? Shining, great, a masterpiece, God's treasure. If we started using those words to describe Tammany Oaks to our friends and even to each other as we talk to each other. I mean, typically, we find it pretty easy to talk about things that are going wrong at the church and what they ought to be doing differently and what they ought to be doing better. Yeah, we talk about that pretty easily. What if we started talking about it the other way, the way God sees it? What do you think would happen? Well, I don't know. But wouldn't you love to find out? It might be amazing. Now, it might take all of us, not just some of us, but all of us, believing it and living it and saying it for something amazing to be unleashed. Are you willing to see that? Are you ready to see that? So yesterday morning, before the crawfish boil, I had the always amazing and wonderful and joyful privilege of performing a wedding right here in this building. As I was thinking about it and getting ready for that wedding, well, the old rhyme about what every lady needs for her wedding started coming to my mind. Y'all know it. Say it with me. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. See, y'all knew it. Where did that rhyme come from? I don't even know what it means. It's got some kind of significance, I guess, and maybe I'll look it up someday. But anyway, that came to my mind, and so I started thinking, you know what? That could be a great framework to build today's lesson around. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. It got me thinking about our back to basics theme, and then to something I learned one evening a week or two ago at Pepperdine Bible Lectures while I was there. And it wasn't in one of the lectures, one of the sermons, all of which were marvelous, by the way, and well worth listening to and watching when they come out. And once I get a hold of them, I'll be able to publish them for y'all to watch and just listen to, too. But the idea that I learned from my friend, it came about around a table as we were sharing pie and coffee. Actually, I don't drink coffee. It's hot chocolate for me, but anyway. And it was cold that night. Isn't that aspect of our spiritual development a marvelous thing? Our learning isn't restricted to the big moments with the famous speakers, although such moments are just golden and wonderful, and they should be sought out and they should not be missed when the opportunity presents itself. But we also learn and we grow in the small settings at the table, around a table. If we could just get our minds off of the usual and ordinary stuff we talk about around the table, the sports, politics, weather, whatever, kids. If we could just get away from that and let our minds and our words focus on the eternal, imagine what you could learn. Anyway, my friend and I, that night, we sat at the table eating pie and drinking coffee and hot chocolate. We started talking about life in the body, life in the church, and how it's really hard. It's really hard because it's people, right? It's people. People with all kinds of different points of view. People with all kinds of different backgrounds. We also talked about how it's so beautiful and sweet and holy when the people are living spirit-filled, spirit-led lives, and we accept and love and find strength in our diversity and in our differences. It's a beautiful thing. But one of the things that my friend has seen in his years of service, both as a minister for some churches and now as part of the Hope Network, which helps churches in times of transition to a new minister and also in times of turmoil and challenge. And by the way, some of you may recall that the Hope Network sent a really awesome guy here to this church several years ago, Grady King. You don't remember Grady King when he was here? Yeah, some of you do. He came to help us kind of work through some things several years ago. The Hope Network at that time was led by one of the truly great giants in our fellowship, Lynn Anderson. Well, through a series of strange and, I think, spirit-led events, Lynn Anderson and I became friends. We became friends. And I even got to go to his home in San Antonio and visit with him and spend an entire day with him, just him and me, in his house, talking about the kingdom. What a privilege. What a blessing. And then somehow I persuaded Lynn to come here and teach and preach one weekend. Do y'all remember that? When Lynn and his wife Carolyn came right here and spoke and taught class and spent some time with us. What a privilege. What a blessing that was for us. And then, within a few days of the death of my wife, Lynn reached out to me. And we spoke at length, and we talked, and what a privilege, and what a blessing that was. Well, Lynn Anderson passed away this week, on Thursday, and our fellowship has lost an amazing voice, a writer, a thinker, a man who made an eternal difference in the lives of countless people, and I'm one of them. And he made an eternal difference in the paths of countless churches through his writings and through his work with shepherds. And the way he encouraged so many ministers and preachers. And I and our church are one of those too. I just thought you should know. Anyway, what my friend Pepperdine told me is that generally churches that know and understand who they are and what their purpose for being is, for what their purpose for existing is, are generally churches that have less destructive internal issues, that have less destructive infighting among the members. And the reason is they have a mission. They understand the mission. They have a purpose, and they know the purpose. And that purpose keeps them focused on the purpose, on the mission, rather than on things that do not further the mission, on things that detract from and distract from the mission. And that mission or purpose for being ideally should be written down and boiled down to a short statement that sets forth the mission or purpose in a way that people can remember. Churches can actually memorize and even say it together. There's nothing magical about it, but almost without fail, churches that know their purpose and know where they're going, what they're doing, are churches where conflict, which happens and will happen whenever people of different backgrounds and everything gather together, well, those conflicts don't result typically in the destruction of the church. Conflicts are usually resolved with the view that there's something more important for people to be involved in and be involved about. The mission and purpose of the church. Does that make sense? Does any of that make any sense? You know, it's easier to, as says in Ephesians 4, to bear with each other, to put up with each other, or as this version in the Voice says, tolerate one another in an atmosphere thick with love. Don't you love the way that that's described there? Tolerate one another in atmospheres thick with love. And it's easier to do that when we have a goal, when we have a shared mission together. It doesn't really matter whether you call it a mission statement or a vision statement or a purpose statement, or maybe even, as some of the Cajuns here in South Louisiana might call it, a raison d'être déclaration. Now, did I butcher that too much, Francine? Something like that in French. Anyway, it's a reason for being. Reason to be is what it means in French. The truth is that many years ago, maybe even in the last millennium, the shepherds at the Causeway Boulevard Church of Christ, which was the name of this church before we moved into this new building, right before Hurricane Katrina, back in 2005, we changed our name from Causeway Boulevard to Tammany Oaks Church of Christ at that time. Anyway, back then, we spent an entire day, as I recall, working on this whole idea of a raison d'être, reason for being. And by the end of a very long day, we had condensed the reasons for the Causeway Boulevard Church of Christ to exist. We condensed it down to its very essence. And it would barely fit on one sheet of paper. We had it all written down. It's because every time we would come up with something, somebody would say, well, what about this? Or what about that? Isn't this essential to who we are? Don't we need to include that to be complete? And so, that document that we call the vision, mission, and values of the Causeway Boulevard Church of Christ It was a pretty exhaustive compilation of who we were, what we were about. But it was too exhausting for anyone to get a handle on it, to know it, to remember it. And probably few of you even knew that there was such a thing, right? We didn't know that that was the banner under which we were operating, the constitution, if you will, of the Causeway Boulevard Church of Christ. In fact, we were kind of lucky to find it, and Bethany has found it. And by the way, it's pretty good. It's pretty good stuff in there. But as good as it is, it wasn't doing anybody any good. So, to get back to the wedding rhyme theme for the day, something old, something new, borrowed and blue, that document from all those years ago is something old, okay? It's something old. And I'm going to ask Bethany to go ahead and have a copy of it on her desk if you want to go take a look at it at some point. I mean, it's not bad work. It's pretty good stuff. But it just wasn't very helpful. That's something old. So if that vision, mission, and value statement from the old Causeway Boulevard Church of Christ is something old, can you guess what might be something new? Hello? What? Say it again. No. Good guess. Something new is, of course, a new purpose statement for the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ here in May of 2022. And here it is. The Tammany Oaks Church of Christ is a family learning to speak God's words and live His grace so the family will grow. How about that? Now, you're probably thinking, but what about blank? Or you left out blank? Where's anything about prayer? Where's anything about baptism? And for crying out loud, where's anything about love? And you know what? You're right. Lots of stuff, even lots of really important stuff, is not mentioned here in this new purpose statement. It's not supposed to be comprehensive. It's not supposed to be exhaustive. It's not supposed to be everything. It's got to be something that can be easily grasped, something easily understood, easily remembered. It's got to be back to basics, right? It's got to be. So, for the next few minutes, let's quickly try to unpack a little bit of what this purpose statement or mission statement is all about. Okay, the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ, the family learning to speak God's words and live His grace so the family will grow. A family. We're a family. The people of Tammany Oaks Church of Christ are not just a group of strangers who happen to get together occasionally in this building. We're family. We're brothers and sisters, which is biblical language. We've all been adopted by the same Father. That's biblical language. And the love we share with each member of this family, with each member of this multiracial, multicultural, multi-educational, multi-generational, multi-political, and any other multi you want to add in there. The love we share with each other is deep and it's profound. And this love between all this diversity we have here is nothing new in the church. It's been this way in the church since the very beginning on the day of Pentecost when people from all tribes and nations were gathered together. Y'all remember that? It's been that way since the Apostle Paul declared in his very first letter, by the way, he said this: there is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And by the way, every time this verse comes up, I ask you to memorize it. This is a verse that needs to be memorized by our people. It needs to be easily said by our people. So there it is again. And think about the divisions that we have today in this world, the things that we think that divide us. The divisions were way worse 2,000 years ago, way worse than what we have now. And yet, Jesus said, no, that's not what's going to be in my church. We're not going to be divided in any way. We're all going to be one. We're all going to be one. So, we're family. We're family, which means love, which means acceptance, which means joyful welcome, doesn't it? All that is in there. It's in there. So we're a family learning to speak God's words. We teach God's words here to each other. It's so important that we put His words into our hearts so that we can speak them. So that we can speak them to others. So that we can teach them to others, that we can teach them to each other. The Great Commission Christ left for us, left for His church, left for you and left for me, is to make disciples, to teach them the way of Jesus, the way that Jesus wants us to live. So we've got to learn it in order to tell it. So we're a family that is learning. We're learning to speak God's words. We're not there yet. We don't have it all learned yet. Amen? We're still learning. We're still learning. So we're a family learning to speak God's words and live His grace. Got to learn to live it. And I got to tell you, I struggle with this phrase. Should it be live in His grace? Should it be live out His grace? Or maybe if we could use some of the current phraseology in the church, lean into His grace. I've heard that before, lean into His grace. Should it be any of that? I couldn't decide which was right. So I went with live His grace, which I think to me entails all of those things. All of those things. Live the grace of God. His grace marks us as His own. It sets us apart from all the other religions of the world, whose adherents are constantly seeking to do enough of the things that they think their God wants them to do and demands of them to do, so that if they do enough of them, if they do enough of them right, then maybe their God will grudgingly accept them. But the real God, our God, offers full acceptance. Full love, complete adoption with all the rights of inheritance, full forgiveness. He offers that as a gift. It's a gift He gives. We don't earn it. We can't earn it. But that grace should color the way we live. The way we live outside of these walls. And always, always, that beautiful grace must point us to the cross. It must point us to the cross. Because while grace is free, it comes at a tremendous price. Living His grace includes understanding the source of our freedom and of our adoption into God's family. So we're a family learning to speak God's words and live His grace so the family will grow. All of this, learning and speaking and living, has one goal in mind, so that the family will grow. Now, let me jump ahead for a second and look at the word grow. Can you see that it implies more than just numerical growth? Though we all certainly should be praying that the Lord will bring more and more people into our building. I mean, we've got room, don't we? We got room. We've even got more chairs back there. We got plenty of room in this building. We got room in our hearts, don't we? We got love to share. We got room for numerical growth. But growing also implies that we're growing inside, that we're growing spiritually, that we're growing in our understanding. We're growing in our gifts. We're growing in our abilities to use our gifts for the sake of the family and for the sake of those who are not yet a part of our family. It means growing in our love for each other and in our willingness to bear with, to tolerate, to put up with one another. It means growing in wisdom, which is different than just adding knowledge. It means growing in our willingness to submit to one another. It means growing in our generosity, in our giving. It means growing in the grace we extend to others because of the grace that God has given us. And on and on and on, right? By the way, I also struggled with this little word, will. See where it says the family will grow? Should we say the family will grow? That it definitely will? It unquestionably will grow? I'm seeing some yeses. Yes! Or should I say so that the family might grow? Or so that the family at least has an opportunity to grow? No! It's will grow. Of course, all growth is in God's hands. All growth is in God's hands. But hasn't He already told us in His Word that the kingdom is like tiny mustard seed, which what? Grows into a large tree? Isn't growth of the kingdom the will of God? Don't we love to pray, Father, thy will be done on earth? So it's will grow. Will grow. That's where we're going in our statement, okay? And then there's the word family again. You see that? The word family. But here I want you to think, there's really another meaning. There's two meanings for the word family. Certainly it means our family here at Tammany Oaks Church of Christ. But at this part of this new purpose statement, we're invited to see beyond just the walls of our little building. We're invited to see that God's family includes all of His children. All over the world. We're a part of something bigger than just our little family here. But God's family grows when what we say and how we live ripples out into places outside of our building and somehow impacts somebody. Maybe someone who's not yet a part of God's family. Maybe someone who is a part of God's family and in another place. And what we do has an effect there. God's family grows when someone from our church leaves and takes what they've learned here to another church in another place. What happens here can have kingdom impact. We're having an event here this summer, which the whole idea is to make an impact not only here, but outside, into other parts of the kingdom. So this phrase invites us to expand our thinking and our dreaming and our vision beyond our walls. It invites us to include kingdom thinking, kingdom dreaming, kingdom vision. So there it is. Something new. Something old was the ancient Causeway Boulevard values, vision, mission, and value statement. Something new is this new purpose statement for Tammany Oaks. Something borrowed. Well, I kind of borrowed the idea of doing this from my friend there that I was talking to a Pepperdine. And the purpose statement at his church, which is the Grace Crossing Church in Conroe, Texas, his purpose statement is this: Grace Crossing is a united family that loves God, loves people, and follows Jesus into the world, which is great, isn't it? And I was like, I want to steal that one. He said, no, you can't steal that one. You got to come up with your own. So I'm going to borrow, though, from him the idea that our purpose statement needs to be out there. It needs to be displayed. It needs to be repeated often enough that people will know it. Not just a memorized statement that really doesn't mean anything to you, but something that grabs us and directs us. And it makes a sense as a summation of who we are at Tammany Oaks. So, let's read it again. Read it together. Tammany Oaks Church is a family learning to speak God's words and live His grace so the family will grow. That's good. I'm excited about the future of the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ. I hope you are too. I hope you are too. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue, something blue. Now, I was thinking about that, and I think maybe, at least for today, let's go with Lynn Anderson's blue shirt. In his blue eyes. Lynn, we were blessed to know you. We'll see you soon. Let's stand and sing.